Touching it didn't damage him, immediately at least, but it was seriously uncomfortable.
We need a car, Jolene sighed.
It would definitely help,
Roxy agreed.
We also need a place to stay, Sean added. A safe place. One with a lot more escape routes.
I wonder how they found us.
That place was warded, right?
Roxy asked, looking at Jolene, who nodded.
Yeah, it was. I'm guessing that they must have started searching all the buildings in the area, and when they found the tower was warded, they figured that was where you were hiding out.
You can tell if a place is warded? Sean asked.
Jolene nodded.
If you're inside it, yeah, of course you can. You just can't tell from outside. They must have guessed you were living nearby after what happened in McDonald's.
We still don't even know who they were, Sean sighed.
And we don't know what the ones who got away figured out,
Roxy added.
Jolene sighed. I need to go visit Sawyer.
We need to visit Sawyer, Sean told her.
Hun, I don't exactly trust Sawyer not to sell us out.
What, even after my dad paid him that little visit?
Roxy grinned.
Sawyer's greed often outweighs his good sense, hun,
Jolene pointed out. Sean smiled.
So we appeal to his greed. I gave him a lichen necklace to sell, and promise him a lot more trinkets after things quiet down.
That might work.
Now, how about we find a nice place to work a little magic?
Sean winked at the two of them.
Oh, there's a nice place just down the block from here,
Jolene smiled. Roxy looked at her.
Girl, do you know the location of every hotel in this town?
Jolene blushed rather suddenly.
Tantric Witch, remember?
She said in a very quiet voice.
With all the things you do to me in bed, it's kind of hard to forget.
Sean purred and then laughed as Jolene suddenly looked proud while blushing all the way down to her nicely displayed cleavage at the same time.
Okay, Sean told them as they got onto the bed. While I'm fairly sure I understand the theory, I've never enchanted anything before, and I don't know that anyone has done it this way either. So, Jolene, you're the expert here. If things look like they're going too crazy, see if you can't throttle it back, or at least cut you and Roxy out of the feed. I don't want you two getting hurt, okay?
Jolene nodded, and Sean smiled, looking her nicely curved naked body over once again. Leaning forward, he pulled her close and gave her a hug and a deep kiss. Then, releasing her, he turned and smiled at Roxy with her more muscular and sleek body, and pulling her close, he gave her a hug and a long, lingering kiss as well. Jolene had told them which position she felt would give him the most power and control over what was going on, while allowing her to keep an eye on what they were doing. He'd be on his back again while the girls made love to him and each other. Only this time, he'd be holding one of the necklaces they'd bought in his right hand. Sean almost had to laugh at Roxy's excitement. He wondered which she wanted more right now, him or the necklace. He decided his ego was better off not knowing. They started off slowly, with the girls kissing and licking at his body, as he let his hands roam over theirs. Sean was already ready to go. Just the sight of their nude bodies was enough to excite him. But Jolene had told him that the more pleasure and emotions you brought to the act, the more power you could generate. Besides, what guy didn't want two unbelievably sexy and powerful women making love to him? When the girls finally climbed on top of him and they all went to the next level, Sean called up his monitor spell so he could watch the power flows. Picking up the necklace from where he'd set it on the bed, he got his lichen necklace tarball ready and waited for their power flows to all start peaking. Just as they did, he triggered the tarball to download into the necklace. There was a sudden surge of power, and the effect was rather interesting as Sean suddenly bucked up hard into Roxy, who was astride him, gasping with a rather powerful orgasm, as Roxy clenched down tightly on him herself, as she also was seized by a powerful orgasm, with Jolene drenching his face as she joined them. When they all finally came down, Sean took a moment to catch his breath and give Roxy and Jolene a hug from underneath as they both held each other, panting.
Welcome to the joys of tantric magic, Jolene mumbled.
Oh, can we do that again? Roxy purred, having shifted into her hybrid form. Sean was a little surprised that he'd shifted as well. Using his powers, he checked the necklace. Everything was exactly as it should be, magically.
I don't see why not, Jolene laughed weakly. I mean, we have two more to do, right?
Sean heard Roxy pick up one of the other necklaces off the nightstand by the bed, and then she took the one he'd just done and handed him one of the regular chains.
Back to work, love,
Roxy purred, and reaching down, gave him a couple of pats on the chest. Sean growled, but while the power he could see through his magic had decreased some, there actually was more than enough left to do two more. The joining of the three of them had apparently generated a lot more than Sean had realized, and suddenly he understood the real reason the other magic users didn't like tantric practitioners. Jolene and he had just unleashed a very large amount of power, undoubtedly a lot more than regular magic users could muster with only three people. Grabbing Roxy's thighs, Sean got back to work rather enthusiastically. An hour and two rather orgasmic experiences later, a fairly exhausted Sean was being washed in the shower by Roxy and Jolene, who were being incredibly affectionate.
That was wonderful, Roxy purred.
You're just happy that you got a necklace, Sean sighed, relaxing between the two of them.
Well, yeah, Roxy laughed. But that whole experience was nice. It reminded me of the first time all three of us were together.
It can be a tad habit-forming, Jolene agreed. Though we need to be careful we don't wear our Sean here down to a frazzle. He was supplying a lot of the magical energy.
You mean our mate?
Roxy smiled and hugged him. Jolene blushed.
Okay, our mate.
Sean purred rather loudly when Jolene said that, and turning to her, he took her head between his hands and kissed her.
Finally, Sean smiled.
Yeah, my old master warned me that this might happen one day.
Roxy smiled and hugged them both.
Now, what do you say we dry off and get some food into our mate here, then grab a bus or something over to Sawyer's place?
It's almost three. Will he still be there? Sean asked.
He's a fence for the supernatural, Jolene chuckled.
He's always there.
Sean nodded and took a moment to examine the necklace Roxy was now wearing. Interestingly enough, it was now an exact copy of his, right down to the coloration and the tiger's eye stone in the center. Apparently, his Tarball archive had copied not just the magical aspects of the Lycan necklace, but the physical aspects of it as well. That gave Sean a few thoughts, but he'd have to consider the implications of that later. Right now, he wanted a quick bite to eat, and to go meet this Sawyer. Small change.
Guns aren't allowed inside the store, Mark said to Sean as he walked inside.
Sean stopped and looked at the large, well, heavy, almost obese guy sitting by the door. His lion felt it immediately. Werebor. Big one, too. Sean smiled at him and looked Marks in the eyes and smiled.
Do you really think I need a gun?
Marks's eyes suddenly went very wide, and he noticed Jolene and Roxy entering behind Sean.
It's him, isn't it?
Marks hissed at Jolene in a whisper. Jolene just smiled and nodded.
What are you doing bringing him here? Are you crazy?
Here, have a gift, Sean said, and handed Marks one of the two lichen necklaces. Marks looked at the necklace and back at Sean.
I can't afford one of these.
I said it was a gift. Put it on. Try it out. I want your boss to be sure I'm selling the real thing here.
Turning back towards the counter at the other end of the room, Sean started to walk towards it, looking over the small green man standing behind it. Jolene had warned him about Sawyer. Extensively. She told him he was tall for a goblin, even handsome by their standards. But he was still a rude, crass, greedy, and self-serving man, unless he could make a profit. Or his personal safety was on the line.
Hey, tramp! Why are you bringing filthy humans in here?
Sawyer yelled from the back.
Can't you do your tricks in the alley, like all the other whores do?
Growling, Sean walked up to the counter, eyes level with Sawyer.
You will not refer to my woman like that, understand?
Sawyer laughed.
Why? You gonna do something about it?
Sean shifted and looked down at Sawyer and growled again.
if I have to.
Sawyer's eyes got wide, and he looked at Jolene and then at Roxy.
Shit! You brought Tooth and Claw Channing's kid in here and the Valens kid? What are you trying to do to me, Jolene? Get out of here! Now! Leave!
Well, at least you aren't calling her rude names anymore, Sean chuckled, and pulling out the other lichen necklace, he put it on the counter. Know what this is?
A cheap necklace, that's what it is,
Sawyer said, looking at Sean nervously.
You want a pawn shop? There's 1,000 of them in this town. Go find one.
Boss, Mark said, walking up and standing next to Sean. It's a lichen necklace.
Sure it is,
Sawyer said. Mark shifted, and Sean noticed that as a hybrid, Mark's came up to his nose. He was pretty damn big. Sure, Sean was bigger, but he'd definitely rather not tangle with the wereboar.
Notice my clothing didn't rip? Mark said.
Sawyer looked at Mark's, then back at Sean.
I gave him one as a gift, Sean smiled, so you could prove to any potential customers that you did indeed have a source.
Sawyer eyed him warily.
What do you want?
Information. Lots of it. I need to know who's after me, where they live, what they're doing, what they're afraid of, contacts to people who might help me, and a bunch more necklaces like this one to enchant.
And what do I get?
You get that one for free, and we split the take 50-50 on the rest of the ones I give you.
You start spreading these around, and you know the bottom is going to fall out of the market.
Sean grinned.
That's the idea. And after I flood the market with these, I'll start flooding it with whatever other magic items that the councils don't want lichens to have.
Sawyer paused a moment and put his hand on his chin in thought.
Let me make sure I have this straight. You want to flood the market with stuff specially designed to piss off the magic users while I make money in the process?
Sean nodded. Something like that?
I thought lions were supposed to be all about law and order.
Yeah, for lichens. We're also pretty damn big on revenge against people who murder our families.
Sean growled the last bit out, showing a lot of fang.
Whoa, whoa, kid. I wasn't involved in any of that. I was living in her neck of the woods up until just a few years ago.
Sean nodded slowly.
That's why I'm here talking to you, instead of, say, tearing you into little pieces.
So, you're really gonna pick up your old man's work and stick it to the councils and help the lichens out?
Of course. They ruined my life. Now it's only fair I ruined theirs as well. They should have just left me alone. I was willing to move on with my life, but they weren't. So what choice do I have?
Sawyer thought about that, and then nodded.
You got a deal, kid.
He turned to Marks then.
Anyone shows up, I'm on an hour break.
Picking up the necklace, Sawyer turned back to Sean.
Come on in the back. Better not to have any of you out here, in case someone shows up while we're talking.
Nodding, Sean shifted back to his human form and followed Sawyer through a series of doorways and short halls until they entered a rather nice conference room.
Have a seat,
Sawyer said, and took the one at the head of the table, which was raised up to put him on an even footing.
Now, what do you want to know?
Jolene spoke up then.
First off, who led the attack on us in the tower yesterday?
That was Harkin's people. He's pretty pissed over what Sean there did to his guys over the weekend. It made him look weak to his people, so he had to commit to some force.
How's he feeling after what Sean did to the ones in the tower?
Harkins is telling people that while everyone up there got away, that Sean's dead.
Really?
Sean asked, surprised. Jolene and Roxy looked just as surprised as he was.
One of their people heard some gal yelling about Sean being shot really bad, and they couldn't find any traces of him, just a lot of blood. Of course, they couldn't stick around long with the fire and the fire department on the way, but since then, no one has been able to scry him anywhere, even for an instant. Total blank.
Sawyer looked Sean over a moment.
You must be one hell of a magic user, kid. You can create powerful magic items and block the most powerful scrying mages in the city enough that they can't even get an echo out of you.
So, who is this Harkins? Sean asked.
Harkins is the head of the Council of Ascendants. They're one of the weaker major councils, except for out here in Reno. Here, they're the number two. They believe in the divine right of magic and magic users. They ain't too popular with most of the other councils out there.
How many councils are there?
5 major ones. I think 9 minor ones. The major ones are Vestibulum. They're the most powerful and the biggest. Morgan runs their coven here. Next is Sapientia. They're the oldest. They made most of the rules and traditions that everyone follows these days. Troy is the leader of the local coven. Eruditio is all about learning and knowledge. They tend to stay out of politics, so I have no idea who runs their local coven. That leaves Gradatim. They're weaker than the Ascendance crowd, and those two hate each other's guts. McConnell runs them.
And which of these are trying to kill me?
Sawyer pondered that a moment.
Well, Eruditio, I doubt they care. Sapientia? If they think you're violating some of their more sacred rules, they might. Vestibulum? They'll want to rein you in, get control of you. If they can't do that, they may decide to kill you, but only if they see you as a threat to the current status quo.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Sawyer laughed.
Kid, if the rumors about you getting the collective boot of the councils off the Lycan necks are true, they'll want you dead. Trust me. Same for Sapientia, too, most likely, as making the Lycans free probably violates some stupid rule of theirs.
Sean sighed. I know that the Gradatim want me dead.
They want your power. They just figure they'll have to kill you to get it,
Sawyer pointed out. So I take it the guys who did the lightning attack, Totis Viribus, they're a minor council? Sawyer nodded.
Yeah, they're pretty much in Harkins' pocket. They're allied with the Ascendants in most places. They're small enough around here that they were able to get 2 other minor groups to ally with them to cast the spell. Harkins had promised some pretty sweet rewards to those that helped.
I heard 2 of the mages involved died?
Yep, Preston, the guy leading the Totis. He had a few qualms with the folks from the Sorceress's Guild. Seems they found his problems with his ex-wife to be rather humorous and laughed at some point during the casting and resisted his attempts to kill her. So he turned on them as the Circle's leader and killed them. So now the Sorceress's Guild is at war with the Totis, and no one other than the Ascendants will side with them anymore for breaking their word.
So, who wanted my father dead?
Sawyer shrugged.
Best I know, kid, they all did. They hired someone from the outfit back in Chicago to come out here and do the job. Honestly, I'm surprised that the locals are going after you themselves.
They probably thought I was going to be a pushover, Sean sighed. But the ones who started all of this seem to have been the guys from Lithuania.
No, they're just the ones who got to you first. I gotta ask you, kid, what did your father leave you?
Sean thought about that a moment. He didn't want to say nothing, because that would so obviously be a lie.
He left me a bunch of books on magic, Sean told him. But I couldn't use them because someone had put a gesh on me. After a couple of the attacks, I got the gesh removed.
Sean shook his head.
Like I said, I just wanted to move on. I actually know a lot about magic, probably more than most of the covens out here. But I wasn't able to practice it. Now I can.
So, he didn't leave you something to free the Lycans?
I don't even know just what the power magic users have over them. Sean admitted. So if my father left me something, I've totally missed it.
Hasn't she told you?
Sawyer said and motioned towards Roxy. Roxy shrugged.
I'm not so sure I understand it myself. I just know it has something to do with silver. My father was never keen on the details, and well, our family hasn't been under the sway of any of the councils for generations.
They implant a ceramic pellet that contains powdered silver with a spell on it. So all it takes is the proper word, your name, and the ceramic splits, and the silver is dumped into the bloodstream and the lichen involved dies a slow and very painful death.
Sean blinked.
What? Why not go to a doctor and get the pellet removed?
It's often placed somewhere hard to get at. Also, a lot of magic users, when dealing with lichens, know to use silver bullets, darts, or cast a cloud of silver particles. Silver has been fairly well weaponized against lichens by the magic community to keep them under control. They've also spent a lot of time indoctrinating the hell out of as many of them as they can. True, not all lichens are controlled nowadays, but enough are that most free lichens know better than to get involved with magic users. If you want to do something to stop that control, you have to do something to remove their weakness to silver.
And everyone thinks my father had figured out a way to do that? Sean said, looking Sawyer in the eyes. That would take a complete understanding of why silver affects them at a biological level, and then the ability to make a retrovirus that altered them enough to block that effect, while still leaving lichens as lichens. You'd need genetic skills that don't even exist in the world today. That's just crazy. Sean shook his head again. These people are insane.
Well, apparently your father did something that convinced all of them that it was possible, and that he was going to do it.
Sean sighed.
Maybe if I knew what that was, I'd have an idea of where to start. But right now, we need to find a new place to hole up for a while.
Well, you can't stay here, Sawyer said. I get too many people coming through here to ever keep it a secret. Hell, I'm hoping Marx doesn't go telling all his lichen friends you came here.
Why would he do that?
Because you're like the lichen messiah right now, kid. You're not only the one who's supposed to free them from oppression, but you're one of them, too.
Damn. Any chance on keeping that last bit a secret? Last thing I need is them to start using silver bullets.
Sorry, kid. Sooner or later, they're going to figure it out, and the odds are on sooner. Once word gets around that Harkins didn't kill you, expect things to go into overdrive. If I were you, I'd lay low for a while.
Yeah. Sean sighed. Now about those chains?
I have a few more questions first, Jolene interrupted, starting off with the addresses for the council leaders.
It'll take me a minute, but I got them all on file,
Sawyer grinned.
Sean listened only with half an ear as Jolene started asking a lot more specific questions about the smaller councils and a number of people in particular. She also wanted to know if either she or Roxy had been outed yet as the people who were with him.
The score on that seemed to be yes on Roxy and no on Jolene. So Sean made sure to keep Roxy's protection from scrying spell active. As she couldn't cast magic, she couldn't do the firewall spell. Though maybe if he put it on an object and let her wear it? Sean would have to think about that.
When it finally came time to leave, Sawyer gave them a bag of a dozen gold or gold-plated chains that all looked suitable. And then he showed them out through a back passageway that came out quite a distance away from his shop.
So, now what?
Roxy asked as they walked out of the industrial park.
It's after 5, and the sun's starting to go down.
We go get a car, Sean said.
And just how do we do that?
Steve's shop is about a 20-minute walk from here, and he's open till 6.
And he'll sell you a car?
I wouldn't be surprised if he just gave me one, Sean shrugged. But if not, I've still got almost 5 grand in cash, a debit card with a lot more money on it, and 12 troy ounces of gold in my pocket. I'm not worried about it.
Aren't you worried they'll find your friend?
Sean snorted.
They couldn't find my room off campus for how long? And I was living there for years? They've probably only figured you out because they saw you at the tower, and they still haven't discovered Joe. If they were going to bother my mundane friends, I'd think they already would have. But if they're not seen with me, how are they going to know about them? I don't think these people really traffic much with mundanes, or have spells to find out who your friends are. Am I right, Joe?
Jolene nodded.
There aren't any spells to find out who your friends are, or who you know, unless they're already inside your head. Though I will warn you that they do traffic with the mundanes more than just a little. They have to go to the shops just like we do, after all, and some of them actually do have mundane acquaintances.
Sean nodded. Point taken.
So let's not try to stand out too much, okay?
Agreed. There's the shop.
Let's go in the back door, Sean said. Cutting around to the back, Sean led them in the back way, and went up and cut into the offices for the shop from the back.
Excuse me, but you aren't allowed back here,
a woman behind a desk said.
Martha, after all these years you don't recognize me?
Sean teased, taking off the glasses.
Sean, I swear, what happened to you? What in the world ever possessed you to dye your hair?
Long story. Is Steve in his office?
He's about ready to close up. Better make it quick.
Sean nodded and crossed the room, stepping into Steve's office.
Steve,
Sean said, looking at his friend who had his attention focused on a computer screen.
Sean, grab a seat. I'm just finishing up the day's numbers.
Steve glanced up and then back at his screen.
And what the hell did you do to your hair, and who are those lovely women, and why would they be seen with the likes of you?
It's a long story, Sean sighed, sitting down. I need a car, preferably one that won't be traced to me right away. I got cash, so I can pay you for it. Steve made a raspberry sound at him.
Your money is no good here, you know that. You can have one of the shop's loaner cars. Don't worry about it.
Steve did something on his computer and then stood up.
I gotta close up the shop and send everyone home for the day. Make yourselves comfortable. There's beer in the fridge.
Steve pointed at a small cube fridge in the corner.
Don't tell anyone I'm here, okay? I saw what happened to the house, and I've already talked to your lawyer. Don't worry. I know you've got problems. Now take a load off. I'll be back in 10.
Sean nodded as Jolene joined him on the couch. Roxy got a beer first, and then sat with them both.
So, how much are you going to tell him?
Roxy asked.
As much as he wants to know,
Sean sighed.
I'm not in the habit of keeping secrets from my friends.
Roxy was on her second beer, and Sean and Jolene had both relented and were on their first when Steve finally came back up.
Okay, shop's locked up, the customers are all gone, and my mechanics are cleaning up and checking out as we speak. So, tell me, who are these two lovely women, and why are they both hanging off of you?
Steve asked with a laugh.
Everything that's going on, and you want to know about my sex life?
Sean sighed, shaking his head.
Well, come on, Sean. What's harder to believe? That people are trying to kill you, or that you've actually got a sex life now?
Steve grinned.
So, introduce me already.
Sean smiled.
This is Roxy, the hot track star you've heard me talk about, and this is Jolene, the hot friend of Roxy's that I don't know if I've ever mentioned before. Roxy, Joe, this is Steve, my friend from public school and former partner in crime.
Steve smiled and shook hands with each of the girls, and then dragged a chair over.
So, inquiring minds want to know, are all three of you?
Roxy and Jolene both smiled.
He's our man,
Roxy said.
And we're his women, Jolene finished.
Whoa. Seriously?
Steve asked, looking at Sean, who blushed and nodded.
Yeah, very seriously. A lot has happened in the last week, and they're the only two good things in it.
Yeah, I can tell that much at least,
Steve nodded.
So, on the serious side of things, who's after you and why? In the last week there's been something of a deadly crime wave in town, as well as quite a bit of arson.
Yeah, I know, Sean grimaced, and it all revolves around me.
Let's start with the why.
My father didn't die in an accident. He was murdered. He was working on something that a lot of people didn't want to see succeed, so they murdered him, and then set things up so Mom and I would be destitute.
And someone thinks you've discovered his secret, right?
That was quick,
Roxy commented. Steve shrugged.
Only thing that would make sense. Samson's dead, his mom's missing, and there have been multiple attempts on his life, apparently.
That's about the size of it, Sean nodded. They think my dad left me something and I'm gonna finish his work. They think that he arranged for me to get his notes or something on my birthday.
Okay, the next question then. Who?
You're not going to believe me.
Well, you won't know until you tell me, now will you?
Sean shrugged.
Okay, try this on for size. My father was a powerful alchemist who was working on a magical device that would free all of the lycanthropes who are enthralled to the magic users, who run a bunch of magical councils and stuff. They didn't want to lose their servants, errand boys, and cannon fodder, so they had him killed.
Now they're after me.
Lycanthropes? Like werewolves?
Steve said, sitting back in his seat.
And magic users? Like wizards and mages?
Steve tilted his head to the side and gave Sean a rather frank look.
Sean, are you feeling all right?
I said you wouldn't believe it. Now here's the tough question. Do you want me to prove it, or would you rather believe I'm crazy?
How do you prove a thing like that?
Steve said, looking at Sean like he was crazy.
Sean stood up and pulled his shirt off over his head. And just when in the hell did you become so muscular?
Part of what happened to me. You see, Samson was a werelion. He worked for my dad and promised to watch over me and Mom when Dad was killed. When they tried to kidnap me last week, he rescued me. But I was pretty badly hurt, and he'd been shot up with silver and was dying. So in order to save me, he bit me.
Oh, dear Lord, you're kidding me, Steve said. If you can't prove that right now, I'm calling an ambulance and getting you committed.
Sean shrugged and shifted into his hybrid form. Steve just sat there a minute, staring at him.
Well? Sean asked after a second minute had gone by.
I'm trying to figure out just what the hell to say next. There's a lot going on here, Sean.
Sean laughed.
How the hell do you think I feel? I'm right in the middle of it. Hell, I'm a lion wearer now, Steve. I can turn into a full lion if I want.
Seriously?
Sean nodded.
Let's see it.
Sean shifted into his full lion form and then blinked as Steve got up and walked over to him and tapped him on the head, then ran his fingers through his fur.
You know, Steve said, looking at him, I know the booking agent for the Atlantis. I bet we could put together one hell of an act.
Really, Steve? Sean grumbled.
You'd have to be silent, though. I don't think the audience would buy a talking lion.
Steve looked at the girls.
And are you both?
I'm a cheetah-wear, Roxy smiled. Joe's a magic user.
Can I see?
Steve asked.
Please?
You know if you hit on her, I'm going to take a bite out of your ass, Sean growled.
Pfft, Terry would have my balls. No way I'm throwing over my fiancé.
Roxy shifted into her hybrid form, and Steve just shook his head.
Wow, you're even better looking with fur. All these years watching anime, and now I finally get to see a real cat girl.
Steve shook his head again.
Almost tempted to ask you to bite Terry after the wedding.
You're taking this rather well, Jolene observed.
Coping mechanism. My father always believed in throwing me into the deep end with business and everything else. Said that learning to cope with unexpected events calmly would make me a successful businessman. Don't think I'm not freaking out over here, but...
Stephen gave Sean's shoulder a push.
It's Sean. I can't go freaking out just because my buddy got into some weird shit. What kind of a friend would I be?
Sean shifted back to his human self then, and Roxy did the same.
So, what are your plans?
Steve asked, looking at the three of them.
To find a safe place to lay low for a while and start figuring out our options while I try to find out if my dad did leave me anything.
And that's it?
Sean spread his hands and looked at Steve.
What else is there?
Steve shook his head.
All those years of playing RPGs and you don't see it? Sean, you're leading a revolt here, and everyone knows it except for you. You need to plan accordingly.
What?
Look, you just told me that all of the Lycans are living under oppression. You're searching for the key to end that, and you're facing the combined might of a bunch of magic users? Tell me that doesn't sound like a revolution, or at least a kick SD&D campaign.
Roxy sighed.
He's right, hon.
It's definitely how all the councils see it, Jolene agreed.
See?
Steve said.
They agree. And no one is going to leave you alone, ever, until you win it. Because they're always going to believe you're still fighting them. So unless you're planning on selling out, which we all know from years of gaming never works, it's do or die.
Excuse me a minute,
Steve said, and pulling out his cell phone, started texting.
What are you doing? Sean asked.
telling Terry that I have an advertising issue I need to resolve and I'll be home late. There, Steve set his phone down. Now, tell me everything, and I do mean everything.
Sean shrugged and looked at Roxy.
Not like we have anything to lose, she said.
Roxy's right,
Jolene agreed.
All right. It started the Friday before last.
It took Sean over an hour to tell Steve everything, or almost everything. He left out the watch, and he didn't go into details on any of the sex, of course.
Okay,
Steve said slowly, thinking about it for a few moments. Then he turned to Jolene.
Joe, how many magic users of all types live in the area?
Jolene shrugged.
Between all of the different councils here, there are probably 1,500 or so. Add in another 500 to 1,000 to include family members who are too young or people who don't affiliate with any of the organized groups, say 2,500, 3,000 tops.
So out of the 500,000 living in Washoe and Story counties, we're looking at less than 0.01% of the population?
Jolene nodded.
Yeah, about that. The ability to work magic is pretty rare, and most folks who can prefer to live in cities. There tends to be more power there. That, and they don't like roughing it.
Roxy, Steve asked, looking at her. How many lichens would you say there are?
Roxy pondered that a moment.
That's a tougher question, both because I've only lived here a few years and we don't organize anywhere near as well as the magic users do. But there are definitely a lot more of us. Probably 3 or 4 times as many of us as there are of them. But we're also a lot more spread out. Some lichens like cities, some don't.
So, less than 10,000?
Probably around that many, but it's just a guess.
Steve nodded.
So, less than 0.1% of the population is going to be involved here.
Roxy, Jolene, and Sean all nodded slowly.
But,
Roxy spoke up,
you have to remember that magic users affect a larger amount of control here than the average person. Most of them are rich. Quite a few of them have some level of influence with the local politicians because of that.
And they can cast magic, Jolene added. That's something of a multiplier. It lets them do things that the mundane can't.
How many of those magic users are going to be actively looking for you, actively involved? 10%? 20? Oh, I'm sure the rest will back them, but you're probably only going to be worrying about 200 or 300 people, tops.
That's still 100 times the 3 of us, Sean pointed out.
Ah, but how many of the 10 or so thousand lichens are willing to be on your side? 10% of that is still 1,000 people, and I'd suspect that the overwhelming majority will support you when push comes to shove. And that leads to the first thing you need to be doing.
Steve smiled.
And that is?
Sean asked, a little skeptically.
Advertise! There are 2 things every movement, organization, or business needs. Money and followers. You don't get those by sitting on your butt. Trust me. That's why my mom and dad are sailing around the world while I'm sitting here running the business. You need to advertise.
We do that, and every magic user in the world is going to be on our case,
Jolene replied.
It's all in the presentation,
Steve grinned.
Sean redoes his Facebook page, talks about this epic game he's involved in, and how he's fighting against the forces of evil mages to save the enslaved Lycan race. Once a week or so, he updates it. Then, you start a GoFundMe campaign, tell everyone you're going to be making, like, a novel or a graphic novel to memorize the campaign, that you'll sell or give away a ring or a necklace to those who contribute over a certain amount. Say, 10 grand, maybe?
But what if we don't deliver?
That's the beauty of GoFundMe versus a Kickstarter. You don't have to pay off. But think about it. It lets everyone in the Lycan community know you're out there, fighting the fight as you give them weekly status reports, and all they have to do to take part is contribute some cash.
Yeah, but what happens if mundanes start donating?
Roxy asked.
That's the whole point,
Steve laughed.
You can fundraise from them, too, and no one can ever claim you spilled the beans. You're just some RPG nerd trying to bring his favorite campaign to life, while raising money and recruiting people to your cause right under the enemy's nose.
Sean leaned back against the couch and blinked. Steve had a pretty good point.
We'll need a website too, of course,
Sean said slowly, thinking about it.
Of course.
Jolene laughed. You know, it'll be weeks, if not months, before any of the councils tweak to it. They're notorious for not using the internet.
Stickers, Roxy said. We need to sell stickers. We can make a bunch of different ones for each of the different Lycan races with some logo or phrase on them. We sell them so people can show their support by plastering them all over the place.
That'll bring in lots of mundanes, and once the mages see that,
Roxy growled, grinning,
they'll fucking freak.
Just be careful of one thing, Steve warned.
What?
Roxy growled.
The goal isn't to get rid of the mages. The goal is to free the Lycans. You don't want to drive any mages who are sympathetic to your cause into the arms of the other side.
He's got a very good point, Rox, dear,
Jolene said, smiling at Roxy.
Okay, okay,
Roxy sighed, giving an embarrassed grin.
We can add a couple of stickers for those magic users who support the cause.
Sean nodded. Okay, so we have an idea to make money, get the word out there, and rally support, right? Everyone nodded. So once we have all that money and support, what do we do with it?
You go and talk to Chad, Steve said.
Chad? Sean blinked. Why Chad?
Because he's the best damn DM in Reno, that's why. Steve grinned.
Steve, we're talking real life here, not some game.
Oh? Who do you know who has studied war, combat, revolutions, and hell, even small uprisings and riots in history more than Chad?
Sean had to stop and think about that. Chad was always pulling stuff out of history to throw at them in games to see if they went the same route as history took, or came up with something different. Chad gamed everything that he did in life. He'd even opened up a small gaming store that was doing rather well.
You know, this just keeps getting more and more complicated,
Sean sighed.
It always does.
So how do we keep in touch?
Talk to John about that. He got me an email address on one of those secure email sites a while back. Maybe we should all get a couple of those disposable phones from 7-Eleven, too.
Sean laughed.
He got me one of those accounts, too. Hell, I think he got all of us in the gaming group one. Guess it's time to start using it.
Steve stood up then.
Well, I need to get home or Terry is gonna kill me.
Reaching into his pocket, he pulled out a set of keys.
These are for the Mercedes wagon in the back. The windows are tinted enough to make it hard to see in, but not enough to get the cops on your butt. And around here, it blends in pretty well.
Thanks, Steve, Sean said, standing up and taking the keys. He shook hands.
Are you kidding? This is going to be more fun than any D&D campaign we ever played as kids. I miss not being able to play anymore.
Roxy came over and gave him a hug and a kiss on the cheek, making Steve smile. Then Jolene did it and actually made him blush.
Whoa, girl. You trying to get Sean and Terry to kill me?
Sean sighed.
Jo's a tantric witch. She can't help herself.
I don't think I needed to hear that, Steve laughed. Now go, use the back door, and I'll finish locking up.
Night.
Night,
they all replied.
Out of town. It was late, and Sean was lying back in the bed, panting, with the girls cuddled up to either side of him.
There has to be an easier way to do this, Sean said slowly, as he caught his breath.
I don't know. This way definitely has a lot to be said for it,
Roxy laughed. She wasn't panting as hard as Sean was, but her naked body was just as covered in sweat as his. This, of course, looked incredibly sexy on her, especially as he'd had something to do with getting her that way.
You're both right, Jolene sighed. And while I'm all for doing it this way, we'll never be able to keep up with demand. The time alone for each one is just too much.
What about ley lines? Sean asked. Don't they have the power?
Jolene scowled.
They have power, and you can tap into it. But all of the powerful ones tend to have someone or something living on top of the key points. But I've been watching you work, Sean. Making these things requires a decent amount of energy, but only a third of it gets used. Two-thirds of it comes back to us. Any way you can at least cut down that upfront amount?
No.
Sean sighed and gave his head a small shake.
The program needs all of that to function. It has to do with the way the archive is restored. You need the full amount of magical energy when you play back each of the spell components and device functions in order to put them into the item properly. I'm not sure yet why I get as much energy back as I do when the spell completes. I'm still trying to understand all of that. But that initial amount we need is just one drawback of the process.
Doesn't feel like a drawback to me,
Roxy giggled.
There has to be another way to tap power, Sean said, thinking about it. I've seen magical batteries. They don't hold much, but maybe a lot of them built together?
And just how much time and energy would that take?
Jolene asked.
Too much, I'm sure, Sean sighed.
Maybe you should look through your books and see if your dad left you anything on it,
Roxy suggested.
That's an idea. But let's get some food first, then maybe a nap.
After a shower, Jolene said. Yeah, definitely a shower,
Roxy agreed.
You two go first while I build up my strength, Sean teased.
Sean smiled and watched them as they sauntered off to the bathroom. Then he called up his monitor spell and checked. They were about an hour's drive east of Reno in a small town, and no one was scrying for him here at all. They'd spent the day enchanting necklaces, and now had a dozen of them. Two he'd mailed to his lawyer. The other 10 he'd mailed to Sawyer with instructions to send his cut to his lawyer.
Getting out of bed, Sean stretched and, shifting back to human, he looked at himself in the mirror. He really did look different now, and it wasn't just the blonde hair. He was a lot more muscular, to the point where it was obvious to him that he'd changed, and there wasn't a bit of fat left anywhere on him. Going into the bathroom, he leaned against the sink and enjoyed the sight of his wives washing. Sean snorted to himself at that. He didn't know if that came from him or his lion, and he honestly didn't care. They were his now. They knew it. He knew it. He'd have to get them rings so everyone else would know it, too.
So, I've been thinking, Sean said and stretched again.
Uh-oh, should we be worried? Roxy teased.
I need a new laptop, one I can build the website on. Then we need to find some place with a good internet connection so I can find a good hosting service to set it up. Then update my Facebook page, and then set up that GoFundMe campaign.
Don't forget the stickers. We'll need to set up an account with one of the online stores for that,
Roxy said from inside the shower.
Yeah, but we'll need an artist first to do all the artwork.
Oh, don't worry about that. I got a friend. I'll call her when we're ready to leave here and get the ball rolling.
I'll probably need some graphics for the website, too, Sean said, thinking about it. Can I borrow your laptop and start laying it out?
After we eat,
Jolene warned.
Yes, after we eat. Sean agreed.
So, when are we heading back to Reno?
Roxy asked.
Tomorrow,
Sean said and yawned. If he wasn't so hungry, he'd just go back to bed.
Right now they think I'm dead, so we have a breather. If something big is supposed to happen on my birthday, well, they'll know I'm not dead. Besides, Reno is probably the only place we'll be able to get online.
Too bad we don't have anything else to enchant.
I think I'm going to spend the night studying. There are a lot more spells I need to learn. Maybe something nice and offensive for a change.
Sean was sitting in his classroom, and he was digging through the books. He'd pushed a few more points into enchanting spells, because he wanted to be sure he had that completely understood. He knew now that any magic item he held, he could easily just make a tarball of, and then play it back into another similar object. Eventually, he'd rewrite that spell so that the object didn't have to be the same, but right now, it was good enough. The thing he wanted to do next was figure out just how to put his firewall spell into an object, like a coin or a ring, so he could then give it to Roxy. That was turning out to be just a little more complicated than he expected, but not because it was difficult, but because the way his firewall spell worked wasn't typical for an enchanted item. Once he'd finally figured out just how to do it, Sean moved on to shield spells. He wanted ones to protect him from spells cast on him, like the paralysis spell that had been used, or some of the attack spells that had been cast at him. He found and learned spells to protect against magical fire, magical cold, and the like, But it wasn't until he was too sleepy to continue that he realized the spells like paralyze and sleep were mind attack spells, not manifestations of physical elements, and were in a completely different book. Checking his stats before calling it quits for the night, he saw that his strength had gone up a little more, and that he'd gained another point there, surprisingly. He pushed them all into regeneration, because almost dying had scared the hell out of him. Mental, he was very surprised to notice that both his intelligence and wisdom had increased a little, but he was still out of points. In his magical abilities, he'd gained 4 points and split them between mana and will. Having those go up would be helpful. He'd already spent most of his points for spells tonight, and he figured he was finally getting the idea of just how this part worked. You had to dedicate your magical potential to specific fields of work as you matured. If you put it all into fire, you'd be better at fire and have an easier time learning fire-type spells. Sean now had a lot of points into enchanting, which meant he had more magic and understanding available for enchanting. However, because he'd cheated with his new idea, framework spells, it had actually created a new category on his character sheet, and it looked like whatever spell he cast using those frameworks would have the power of his framework magic behind it, and not, say, that of fire spells, which he'd only put a point in to be able to learn the basics. All in all, he was still a little confusing, but he was finally starting to make sense of it. Leaving the classroom, he let himself fall asleep. Tomorrow was another day, after all. Sean let Roxy drive them back to town while he sat there with one of his gold coins and started to enchant the firewall spell into it. He'd punched a hole through it, near the edge, so it could be worn with a chain or cord. The book on enchanting had been clear on 2 things. The first was that an object couldn't be physically altered after it was enchanted, or it would destroy the enchantment. The second was that those metals known as transition metals were the only things that you could enchant, and the purer or more expensive they were, the easier it typically was to enchant them. That made gold about the easiest to work with. So as this was his first effort, that was what he decided to start with. For a spell that took Sean only a minute to cast on himself, it took him 20 minutes to cast it into coin. Some of that time was because he had to restart the process 3 times as he realized he wasn't doing it properly. Once he was finished, he used his monitor program on it, which he could only do because he was holding it. He put in the same allow all exceptions he had on his own, one for Roxy, one for Jolene, and of course, one for him. Then, pulling out another coin, he punched a hole in that one and did it all over again. This time, it only took him a little more than 10 minutes. Setting the exceptions up on that one, he checked the results and then passed the first coin to Roxy.
What's this?
It's the new protection from scrying spell I've worked out. Joe's using it now, too. It's a lot better than the one I've been casting on you.
How do I...
You can just put it in your pocket for now, but as long as it's on you, it'll work. We can get a chain or something for it later. Roxy smiled.
Thanks, hon. Now let's hit the mall and replace some of those clothes you lost.
And get me a new laptop as well, I guess, Sean agreed.
I could use some clothes, too, Jolene sighed. I just wonder if it's safe to go back to my apartment.
Sean shrugged. Why take the chance? Let's drop by the post office to mail these chains first. Then, yeah, shopping. After that, maybe some cash from the bank. Sitting back in the seat while they drove through town, Sean made a tarball of the spell on the coin. It was a lot smaller than the one on the chain, and pulling out a 3rd coin, he unpacked the tarball onto that. He got a little dizzy for a brief moment, from the magical surge, but again, most of the magic came back to him. It hadn't really used all that much. What he found interesting was that there was now a hole in the coin, just like the other one, even though he hadn't punched one. Also, the exception files were there for him, Roxy, and Jolene as well. Thinking back to the chains, he wondered how much harder would it be if he was just casting the spell onto iron or steel ones. The finished products weren't gold or silver or any single precious metal. They were obviously an alloy of several. So somehow he was transmuting a precious metal into a lot less precious combination of metals. He'd have to find a physics book. Something about that just didn't seem exactly right. Thursday night.
Well, that's it. Sean sighed and closed his new laptop. The new website is up. I've made the submittal for the GoFundMe page, and I just finished updating my social media pages. I even opened up an account with one of the online sticker companies. All we need now is the artwork.
Roxy nodded.
I got my friend working on it. She said she'll start having drawings in a week.
So, Jolene asked,
now what?
Sean sighed and rubbed his temples. They were sitting in a coffee shop using the Wi-Fi, and he'd drunk way too much coffee. That, along with the stress of everything, was starting to get to him.
I have no idea. Tomorrow's my birthday, and everyone thinks some sort of message or something is going to be delivered to me by my father from beyond the grave or something.
Maybe he sent you a telegram via Western Union. You know, like in the movie?
Sean shook his head. Even if they still do that, which I doubt, how would they ever find me? Plus, my dad was a magic user. I'd sort of expect him to use, oh, I don't know.
Sean sighed.
Magic?
Honestly, how do you even send a message to someone 12 years in the future?
Maybe it'll unlock on your birthday, like the books did,
Roxy suggested.
Maybe, I don't know. If this was my dad's biggest secret, I would think he'd want to do something to keep it from ever falling into the wrong people's hands.
And there sure are a lot of those these days, aren't there?
Roxy agreed with a sigh.
The most obvious method, Jolene said in obvious thought, would be to do something that would attract your attention to a specific place, so you'd go there.
But then everyone would see it, Sean pointed out.
True, but until the seers started seeing, you'd have been the only one to realize that it was for you, being your birthday and all. Plus, whatever it does, it could easily be set to only activate when you came near.
Makes sense.
Roxy nodded.
Yeah, Sean agreed. It does. But what could you do to attract attention in Reno, of all places, and without freaking out all the regular people?
Sean sighed again.
And of course, if that is what he did, then every magic user in town is going to know what it's for, and we'll be dealing with that as well.
Where did you live before your father died? Jolene asked.
Down by Thomas Creek.
Whoa. That's a pretty pricey neighborhood.
Sean frowned. We were rich, until they took everything away, that is.
Why?
Well, if your father wanted to do something that you would see, don't you think he'd do it near where you lived?
Roxy shook her head.
I think we're going about this all the wrong way. Sean, did you have a favorite place that your dad used to take you? Some place that he knew you loved?
Well, yeah, the railroad.
Sean stopped and looked at Roxy.
I remember now. How did I ever forget?
The Gesh, Jolene supplied.
For my 7th and 8th birthdays, my dad took me to the Railroad Museum in Carson City. I loved that place. He knew some of the people rebuilding the old steam locomotives. We used to get tours of the workrooms in the back. I remember him telling me that it was one of his favorite places because of all the craftsmanship.
Sounds like that might be the place, then.
Roxy smiled.
Well, we better get going,
Sean said, and started to put all of his stuff away.
What's the rush?
It's almost 10,
Sean said, and then looked at his watch a second time. He was surprised that they hadn't been kicked out yet. The looks on the faces of the two people behind the counter kind of made it clear that they wanted to close soon.
It'll take about an hour to get there, and then we need to scope the place out, maybe find a place to stay, because for all I know, whatever is going to happen may just happen at midnight.
Yeah, let's get going,
Roxy agreed, and she and Jolene both got up and followed Sean to the exit.
Oh, shit,
Sean swore as he stepped out the door. There, across the parking lot, were 4 people, obviously waiting for them. 3 of them looked to be in their mid-30s, and definitely looked like they were only there to watch out for the 4th one, who looked much older. That one's hair was white, though short, and he had a goatee, also white.
Trouble, Sean growled in a low voice. Excuse me, Mr. Sean Valens, I presume?
The older man spoke up and took a step forward. Sean activated his monitor spell to see if he was being scried, and reaching inside his vest, he put his hand on the butt of his pistol.
I only wish to talk, the old man said, and cast a spell at Sean.
Sean would have missed it if he hadn't had the monitor spell running. The gesture was so minor and discreet. The cast spell hit his firewall and went nowhere.
If you just want to talk, why are you casting at me?
Nothing more than a simple paralysis spell. It'll wear off shortly. I'd rather not be shot, you understand. Sean stood there, unmoving for the moment, as he recalled that paralysis and sleep spells all affected the mind, but his firewall blocked those things rather effectively now. That was an interesting side effect, and gave him some ideas for another spell. But first, he had to deal with this.
Who are you, and what do you want?
I am Arthur Troy. I'm the current head of the local council of Sapientia. And I must say that I'm a bit concerned over just what's been going on these last 2 weeks.
You're concerned? Sean boggled at him. If you're so concerned, why aren't you going after the others? You know, the people who have tried to kidnap me, murder me, who've murdered my friend, kidnapped my mother, blew up my house and burned my apartment down?
Yes,